KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies here in Atlantic and 42 degrees. We look forward to be partly sunny with a high of 72. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Train home comfort specialist dealer. Hundreds of volunteers put their lives on hold so they can help people in a tiny southwest Iowa town recover from a mammoth tornado. The twister ripped through the town of Thurman on Saturday, damaging most of the town's homes, but causing only a few minor injuries. The 900 volunteers who showed up on Sunday to help the town's 229 residents were followed by an estimated 270 volunteers on Monday. Mayor Rod Humphreys said that people will be cleaning up for a week and that they should be 90% done by Wednesday. Many of the volunteers are people whose homes or businesses were flooded by the Missouri River last summer. More volunteers are expected today, some from as far away as Wisconsin and Montana. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Train central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Train systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Train, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Train dealer. You know the true Train difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Train home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
The tornado sirens didn't sound in Creston before Saturday's twister struck, which injured a half a dozen people and caused heavy damage to the southwest Iowa community. Union County Emergency Manager Joanne Duckworth said she'd been watching the storm develop on radar and had seen nothing particularly threatening for her area until the EF2 tornado dropped from the sky.
In just a few seconds, the whole situation changed. So we weren't able to get out to sound the sirens. There just was not time, and when the storm was coming through, nobody would have heard them.
Strong winds preceded the development of the twister, and they knocked out power and knocked out local radio stations as well in that area. Cell phones were also knocked out, and Duckworth said residents had been told, though, to be on the lookout for severe weather.
We knew this system was coming in. We've been planning on it for like 48 hours, and we tried to urge people to please be aware and to have those emergency plans in place. Unfortunately, you know, all the preparing in the world can't stop the actual storm from coming.
The damage in Creston was widespread, including to the town's only hospital and to Southwestern Community College. Officials of the American Red Cross and Southern Iowa Regional Housing Authority on Monday were asking landlords in Adair and Guthrie counties to call CIRHA if you have any housing vacancies. Residences are needed for persons in the Creston area who were displaced by Saturday's tornado. CIRHA was working to get families placed in homes as quickly as possible. Once again, only landlords are being asked to call if you have properties available. You can call 641-782-8585, extension 10. Creston City Councilmember Lloyd Winborn said that he and his family had a very close encounter with Saturday's tornado as it picked his feet up off the ground and he clung to a closet door for his very life. Winborn took a reporter on a tour of what's left of his home after it was demolished by the twister, which arrived practically in the blink of an eye.
The kids were in there watching NASCAR. The weather radio went off, said there was a 70-mile-an-hour winds, probably 7 miles outside of town. So we were getting our shoes to go over to the neighbor Brad and Alicia's because they have a basement. But then my ears started popping and the barometric pressure changed so fast. I felt the house lower. I screamed for everybody to run to the closet.
And he says they only had a few seconds to react.
And we got the kids in the closet. Stacy literally picked up Evan and threw him in. I threw Alexander in. Stacy got in, and as I was trying to get in behind him, my feet left the ground. I grabbed onto the door, and I was trying to push them down. My head and shoulders hit the back of this, causing that to break. Some random door flew in and hit me in the back of the head.
Lloyd said he suffered a concussion from the blow, and he realized quite quickly that his house was gone, and they needed to get out right away as it was no longer going to be shelter from the storm.
I looked up, the roof was peeled off. All I could see was pure white above, nothing. It was just a horrendous noise and nothing but super bright white light. And then it was all over, and the house slammed down. I felt like I was 5,000 pounds when I hit the ground on top of them and just forced everything down. We didn't have much much time, though, because then, with no roof, debris just started raining inside the house.
Everyone got to safety in a neighbor's basement, and among the debris they found later inside the wrecked home was a large bird feeder mounted on a 4x4-inch post on the kitchen floor near the refrigerator. In other news, the City Council in Harlan will hold a public hearing this evening on the proposed issuance of Series 2012 bonds not to exceed $2.5 million. Following the hearing, during the Council's 5:15 p.m. session, a vote will be held to begin the process of taking additional action for the issuance of bonds, and they'll act on a resolution directing the advertisement for sale of $2.455 million in bonds, along with approving the electronic bidding process. A cattle feedlot operator near Mapleton in western Iowa has agreed to pay a $10,000 penalty for violating the Federal Clean Water Act. The Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, says that during an inspection in March of last year, EPA personnel found evidence that Peterson Bubke LLP was discharging wastewater and pollutants into Rush Creek and its tributaries in Monona County. The EPA said the company also didn't have the permits required for a feeding operation with more than 1,000 animals. In compliance, Peterson Bubke reduced the number of cattle at the feedlot and installed livestock waste controls. Iowa State University is installing water quality monitors at 16 Iowa lakes to help find out what causes harmful algae blooms. Some of the blue-green algae, for example, can produce dangerous toxins. Drinking toxin-tainted water can cause vomiting, diarrhea, respiratory failure, and, in rare cases, death. Among the western Iowa lakes will be part of the monitoring study is Arrowhead and Black Hawk Lakes in Sac County, Lake Orient in Adair County, and Springbrook Lake in Guthrie County. The Iowa DNR is cooperating in the study. The monitoring equipment will be underwater and will be marked by hazard buoys. Sheriff's officials in Montgomery County say a Red Oak woman was arrested Monday afternoon on a theft charge. 34-year-old Julie Crystal Fisher was taken into custody at around 3:45 on a charge of fourth-degree theft. Fisher was booked into the Montgomery County Jail and held on a $1,000 cash bond. Two Omaha men were arrested last Friday on drug charges in Audubon County. Sheriff's officials said yesterday 18-year-old Alexander Ward Carter and 21-year-old Alex Thomas Meyer, both of Omaha, were taken into custody at around 8 p.m. Friday following a traffic stop in Audubon. Carter faces a possession of marijuana charge, while Meyer was charged with possession of marijuana and driving while intoxicated, drug-related. The men were brought to the Audubon County Jail, appeared before the magistrate, and were released. Page County Sheriff's Office said yesterday a theft occurred over the past week of an ATV from a residence near Brattyville. The camouflage-style Polaris SPM XP550 four-wheel ATV was stolen from a building on a property located at 3193 Nutmeg Avenue sometime between April the 11th and the 14th. The owner lives in Maryville, Missouri. No value was placed on the machine in the sheriff's report. Anyone with information about the theft should contact the Page County Sheriff's Office. Elsewhere in state news, a college professor and Iowa's Education Department director have answered the challenge of the ACT College Readiness Examination. University of Kentucky Professor Scott McCloud in February challenged Governor Terry Branstad after the governor had called for all Iowa juniors to either take the ACT or SAT tests. McCloud said he's a skeptic about the standardized testing. Branstad declined, but Education Director Jason Glass said he'd take the test and dared McCloud to join him. So the two sat down Monday at Roosevelt High School in Des Moines and took the ACT again. Glass received a composite score of 27 out of 36. McCloud finished with a composite score of 34. Iowa's average composite for the class of 2011 was 22.3, while the national average was 21.1. Both men who took the tests have doctorates. Taking a look at our world headlines of this hour, a House committee is holding a second day of hearings today into the misuse of taxpayer dollars by the General Services Administration, or GSA. One person set to testify is Robert Peck, who attended the GSA's $823,000 conference at a Las Vegas resort in 2010. The fired GSA executive has been sent a letter by his former employer demanding a $1,960 reimbursement for a party he threw in his room. President Obama is to unveil a $52 million plan for more federal supervision of oil markets. The plan also would increase penalties for market manipulation and give regulators the power to increase the amount of money energy traders must put behind their transactions. Obama has been under pressure to take action on the rising gasoline prices. And police in Milledgeville, Georgia, say they have no regrets handcuffing a kindergartner who was having a temper tantrum. A local TV station reported the 6-year-old girl allegedly tore items off the wall and threw furniture at her elementary school last Friday. The school called police. Police say when an officer tried to calm the child down, she resisted and was handcuffed. News time is 8:10.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
And in our funeral announcements, Dorothy Cox, age 82 of Harlan, died Thursday at the Elmcrest Nursing Home in Harlan. Funeral services for Dorothy Cox will be this morning at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Beverly A. Nelson, age 76 of Atlantic, died Friday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Beverly Nelson will be this morning at 10:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Elizabeth Lee McMahon, age 57, of Menlo, died Thursday at her home. Graveside services for Elizabeth McMahon will be today at 11 o'clock at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery in Van Meter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Bessie Jonk, age 87, of Atlantic, died Friday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Bessie Jonk will be held today at 2:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Chris Southman, age 48, of Cumberland, died Saturday at the Nebraska Methodist Hospital in Omaha. Funeral services for Chris Southman will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Cumberland Community Building. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Mark Stephen Conrad, age 56, of Harlan, died Thursday at his home. Graveside services for Mark Conrad will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. in the Harlan Cemetery. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Harry Gill, age 92 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Harry Gill will be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Elizabeth Betty Slayton, age 83 of Casey, died Saturday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Betty Slayton will be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Casey United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has arrangements. Frida Hemmingson, age 90, of Audubon, died Monday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Frida Hemmingson will be held tomorrow on Thursday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Drake Thomas B. Shorner of Atlantic, the son of Katie Jo B. Shorner of Atlantic and Casey Ellerbeck of Omaha, was born and passed away on Thursday at Bergen Mercy Hospital in Omaha. A memorial service for Drake B. Shorner will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Esther Thompson, age 93, of Panora, died Friday at the Guthrie County Hospital in Guthrie Center. Services for Esther Thompson will be Thursday at 10:30 at the Church of the Brethren in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Geneva Schreck, age 84, of Coon Rapids, died Friday at her home. Funeral services for Geneva Schreck will be Friday evening at 6:30 at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Louis P. Lauritsen, age 88, of Farmington, New Mexico, and formerly of Audubon, died December 19th. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Louis Lauritsen will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Byron Dwight Jensen, age 78, of Harlan, died Friday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Byron Jensen will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. June Clemens, age 90, of Brainerd, Minnesota, and formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Bethany Good Samaritan Nursing Home in Brainerd. Services for June Clemens are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. And Nina Mickelson, age 98, of Orient, died Monday at Corning Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Nina Mickelson are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Henson reporting.